Hymn number 36.
O Thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call, my comfort by day and my song in the night, my hope, my salvation, my all. His voice as the sound of the dulcimer sweet, his head through shadows of death, the cedars of Lebanon bow at his feet. The air is perfumed with his breath. His lips as a fountain of righteousness flow, to water the gardens of grace, from which this salvation the Gentiles shall know, and bask in the smile of his face. He looks an attendant of angels rejoice, and myriads await for his word. He speaks and eternity filled with his voice re-echoes.
Would you bow your heads with me as we lift up our hearts to God in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for waking us this morning, Father, for we know that there are many on this planet who did not wake this morning. And we know that the very fact that you have put breath in our lungs once again is an assurance that you have something to do with us, through us, and for us this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can be here today to worship you, yet we are reminded that like the disciples of old who gathered before you, there are some among us who doubt. There are some among us whose hearts are so burdened with care that we don't know what you are going to do. But we are reminded, Father, like David, that when we enter into the sanctuary of God, we find the answers, because you are here. Be with us here this morning. As we lift our cares to you, there are many who have unspoken requests that they lift up to you at this moment in the quietness of this place. And Father, as we do so, we know that the promise is that as we cast our cares upon you, you care for us, and you will bring them to an expected end. Give us understanding today. Help our unbelief. Bless us through the hearing of this word is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from a book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 10. I'm reading from the book of King James Version. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 to 10. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long sufferings, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the word of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, and poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. May the Lord bless us as we ponder upon his words.
We have chosen this song that's in your program as an insert, Change My Heart, O God. It is not a medication. Maybe it is. It's a meditative song that let's sing together.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the Father, and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O
The Institute of World Mission is one of several institutes that are here at Andrews University. And one of the main responsibilities we have as the Institute of World Mission is to hold three-week seminars in various parts of the world to help prepare the church's missionaries before they head cross-culturally. And right now, in this 3 weeks, we're having one of those institutes right here on this campus. And we have several missionaries, some that have already been in their field for a little while and now are coming back to meditate upon what is happening, and some that are just now being sent. It is quite a fun responsibility that the Institute has to work with these missionaries. I've brought a couple of them up front today. The rest are sitting here worshiping with us. But just to have them share a little bit about what the call to mission is meant to them, its joys, its struggles, and what's happening. The ones that we have here today are new to the enterprise. So we will see what God is doing in their life as they prepare to serve for a period of time in another culture in another place. First, we have Ken and Crystal Pearson, a dentist. And been married for about almost a year. Ken? We'll make Ken do the talking today. I understand that the idea of mission service isn't new to you. Could you tell us why?
Yeah, that's true. I guess the reason it's not new to me is because I was a missionary kid. So I spent the first 16, 17 years of my life in the mission field. My parents were missionaries in Africa. And so, no, it's not new. The mission mentality or going as a missionary is not new to me.
Did you feel that someday you may do the same? God put that burden in while you were young, or did you fight the idea?
No. Well, yes and no. Yes, the answer, yes, that I, just from a young age, remember thinking that I wanted to come back as a missionary or commit my life to mission service. And it's hard to know exactly when that happened, but from a long time back, and then as I went through college and dental school, that just solidified, and it was very clear to me that there was a calling to go as a missionary.
Okay, just tell us the story for a few minutes this morning of how the call came to do what you're doing, and I haven't told that yet because I left that to you. But the story of the call that you received and your preparation now to go and serve.
Well, there were, as any actual going as a missionary comes to fruition, there are a lot of things that factored into it and played a big part. And I believe God's hand was in all of them. Initially, just having the interest and expressing that to the people that could possibly place my wife and I. Now, initially, out of dental school, I didn't really want to go by myself. So finding the right person was kind of critical. And I guess I can say I'm very blessed that my wife had the same feeling and calling. So it was a blessing that we saw the same thing, that we were on the same page, that there wasn't, you know, me saying, well, we need to go, and her saying, no. I mean, we were together on it, and that was a true blessing, and I thank God's guidance in that. As far as actually the call to go, we will be serving in Saipan. Saipan is in the Pacific, and initially we had expressed interest to the liaison between the School of Dentistry and the different clinics around the world, and he was aware of that, but we actually didn't find Saipan through him. The director from Saipan happened to be at a National Association of Seventh-day Adventist Dentists meeting and spoke to my parents, and Crystal's parents happened to be there as well, and said that he was looking for two dentists, and that initially was something very unique because most of the clinics around the world have a position for one dentist, but not two. And so they said, well, you need to talk to my son and his wife. And so they gave him our contact information, and he got in touch with us. And everything just flowed so well. I just believe that God had his hand in everything. The timing was just perfect. just that they could accommodate the both of us, and there was a need for both of us, was huge as well. And I just believe that God had his hand in the workings of us being called to go.
Good. Now, you went over there for just about 6 weeks.
Yes.
So you've seen the place, and you're looking forward now to moving after the Institute is over.
Yeah.
Any specific challenge that you want us to pray for you and support you as you go there? We know you'll be a good dentist, but as you go to be a missionary in another culture, anything especially on your mind and heart?
I think that's always one of the challenges leaving a place that you're familiar with. Even if you've done it before, the change is always something that can pose a huge challenge or even a block. Sometimes we may consider it a block or questioning, if this is really where God has called us to be. But in those general ways, I mean, some prayer would definitely, if you remember us in prayer, that would be great. We really appreciate that. I think sometimes just putting yourself out there, you know, sometimes people say, well, I have a mission here at home. Wherever I live, that will be my mission. And that is true. And you can always have a mission wherever you are. However, for me personally, I think it's harder if you've committed yourself, you've put yourself out of your comfort zone, you've gone somewhere else with the mission of the church. I think sometimes harder and sometimes easier. Harder in that you may face challenges that you wouldn't have expected or you wouldn't have faced at home, but easier in the fact that your mission is primary in focus. And so your prayers would definitely be appreciated as we embark on our mission.
Thank you, Ken and Crystal. Amen. Can we come to see you when we come by Guam? The other missionary I have with me this morning is Missy Worley. You want to come up here, Missy? She also has felt God's call, and interesting story behind all that. Now, you didn't grow up a missionary kid. In fact, I understand that you're a fairly new convert to Adventism. Could you just share us, before we talk about the mission call, God's call to be part of his family?
Thank you. Praise God. Growing up, I grew up in Colorado. I always had a call to go overseas and just experience new cultures. So that led me to the Peace Corps. And so I experienced other cultures, I experienced being away, and I experienced some lack, knowing what it's like to truly live isolated without God in your life. I was blessed because that was my first experience with Seventh-day Adventists. I met my first group of Seventh-day Adventists in the island of St. Lucia. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I worked with St. Lucians that were Adventists. And right then I wasn't searching. But I do wish, and I have communicated to this to the Adventists later on, that I really wish somebody would have told me about Jesus. So I continued in my life doing what I thought was right and getting in horrible messes, coming out of it. And years later, I got to a position again where my support system was gone. And that's where I met Jesus. I had a friend from Kenya who grew up Adventist, who asked me very simply, "Missy, can you take me to church? I go to church on a different day, but please, can you provide a ride for me to go to church?" So I did. And that started a pathway for me to know Jesus. I met with a group of church people. You know, they looked like other church people, but they had a special love in their heart. And they expressed that to me. I was accepted. And then a family came to my house and started giving me personal Bible studies. And yes, our doctrines are important, but our doctrines only reflect Jesus. So there are plenty of people in the churches these days who follow the doctrines but don't follow Jesus. And I would just ask you, as leaders in the church, please show people Jesus first and then use the doctrines to support. You know, as part of my conversion, yes, the doctrines were so important, and I was blown over when I recognized the truth about death, the truth about hell, and how just God is and how loving he is. These are not doctrines to, you know, just bring out blankly and say, "I believe in this and I believe in that." No, I believe in Jesus. And that'll lead to all other truth. Amen. So that's what brought me into the church. That was year 2001.
Thank you. After you became an Adventist, you served in mission field even within the United States. Could you just briefly take us through that and then share how this new call has come about, that you'll be going overseas and serving God cross-culturally?
As I became part of the church, I was part of a very small church. We didn't have a pastor. We were just a community fellowship at that time, and so many offices were needing to be filled. And we got word that Mark Finley was coming into town for evangelistic series. And so I started learning how to give Bible studies and meet people at their doors. And it opened up to many other doors, so that I really felt a calling that although I'm trained as a physician assistant, I see patients, I diagnose, I prescribe medicines, that really a bigger part of my ministry is teaching people how to have eternal life. And God put it on my heart to take 6 months off, well, actually 3 months at that time, and I moved to Washington, D.C. to be part of a field school for Amazing Facts College of Evangelism. We assisted with Doug Batchelor's Net 2005, and I stayed on, actually, as a full-time Bible worker from that time. As that concluded, and I saw many people get to know Jesus, I was in a quandary. What am I supposed to do now? You know, I have got medical background, and now I've got soul-winning background. But how do the two mix? Where does God want me? In my devotional time, I really felt like God was calling me that in 6 months after ending Amazing Facts that I would be overseas. Everybody I would talk to said, "You can't go overseas in 6 months. You have to have more preparation. What money do you have in the bank? You know, what security do you have?" And I say, "I have nothing. For the last 6 months, I made almost zero money. But I worked for God, so I know he'll take care of things." And I had two two different directions that messages were coming from to me. One is I started inquiring on the Office of the Secretariat about physician assistant jobs or even any medical jobs that it might fit. And there were two options open, one in Nicaragua and one in Guam. My only other experience was with Guam was one of the people I gave Bible studies to in Denver has family in Guam, and she's from Micronesia herself. At the same time, a friend of mine had just gone through Mission Institute as well, a lay evangelism training program, and went to Guam to follow up on an evangelistic seminar, and he called me one night and said, "Missy, you really need to consider coming to Guam. There is a clinic here, and the doctors, all of the doctors, pray with their patients when the opportunity is given to them. They all do Bible studies with their patients if their patients are open to them. This is a clinic that mixes medicine and the gospel." And so that really compelled me, and God worked everything out, and I did make it within a very few months, much less than 6 months, did I make it overseas to Guam. And it has been such a wonderful experience to see a group of people so interested in sharing the gospel and then providing health care as well. So if you'd please keep our clinic and the work in Micronesia and all around the world in your prayers.
Thank you, Missy. A couple of those doctors are here. Would Shannon and Kayla stand? They're taking the institute too. Dr. Pittman and Edwin. There we are, Edwin and Charlotte. Physician and dentist with the Guam. So not only do we have a testimony of what she's doing, but a testimony of what the doctors are doing there. And now these are the ones that were there 3 years before they came to find out what to do, but I'm glad to hear they're doing it already. God is good. Not just here, but around the world, and of course many of you come from around the world. One of the hardest things for me now to be directing the Institute of World Mission is that I get to share and hear the stories, but I'm not there anymore. And we've enjoyed our mission experience as well. And I hope that you are always open to what God might have for you. The faculty of our institute is myself, Cheryl Doss. You want to stand? I think they know you. No, you don't want to stand. And Wagner Kuhn, who I've asked to bring the testimonies home to each of us this morning. Will you share with us?
Good morning. God has called you and me to cross borders. Some of our friends here have accepted that call, and they have already crossed some of the borders. Are you willing to cross borders? I remember I was quite young and canvassing, and I faced the border in the southernmost state of Brazil with Uruguay. Between myself and Uruguay was a huge big river called Uruguay River. I really wanted to cross that border. I couldn't at that time. A couple of years later, I was in the Amazon again canvassing, selling books. Oh, blessed work, the co-porters. And I faced the Guyana, the French Guyana and Suriname. I really wanted to cross those borders. Have you crossed any borders yet? Several years ago, I had to cross many borders in the former Soviet Union. By train, by car, by airplane, or by foot. Hardships, challenges, but a lot of joy. Lots of joy in crossing borders. Our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians 6 tells us, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. And it goes on. I stood in front of Ararat Mountain in the Nakhichevan Autonomous Republic, about 3,000 feet above sea level, and the mountain itself is about 15,000 feet above sea level. And I had to cross the border between Nakhichevan and Turkey. And back and forth several times. Between Azerbaijan and Armenia, or Georgia, or Russia, crossing borders between the state of Michigan and Illinois and Indiana, crossing borders from US to Mexico. Some of these crossing borders present lots of problems. You have to have a passport and a visa. Sometimes, even if you have a visa, they will not let you go in. There are some maneuverings that you need to go through. No, you need to go back. You don't have the visa. So many times I longed to have that white stone with my name engraved, because with that I will be able to cross eternity and the borders of the universe. That will be fun. No more passports, be it Brazilian or American or Kenyan or from the Caribbean countries or from England. It doesn't matter. You will have a white stone with a new name to cross the borders where God is seen. Impurity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness and in the right hand and in the left, through honor and dishonor. People will not like you. Some of them will bring you great honor. Bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors. Have you crossed borders? Have you felt some of that? Dying and yet we live on. Beaten and yet not killed. Sorrowful and yet always rejoicing in the Lord. Poor yet making many rich. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. Have you crossed any borders? God has called you to cross borders. We have called, we were called to go and cross borders. Right now, I think, and my family thinks, we are crossing a difficult border. My daughter, she's about 10 years old. She's fighting cancer. She's going back to the hospital on Friday to cross another border of chemotherapy treatment. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich by crossing borders. If you don't cross, they will not be rich. Rich with the gospel. Rich with the eternal hope, the hope that Christ brings. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. And I want to conclude with the words of a missiologist from Peru, Samuel Escobar. He paraphrases Philippians 2, and he says the following in his book, Changing Tides, Latin American and World Mission Today, page 176. Let there be in you, and let there be in us, the same feeling and mind that was also in Jesus Christ, who in order to reach us crossed the border between heaven and earth. He crossed the border of poverty to be born in a stable and live without knowing where he was going to rest his head at night. He crossed the border of marginalization to befriend women and embrace publicans and Samaritans. He crossed the border of spiritual power to free those afflicted by legions of devils. And he crossed the border of social protest to sing truths to the Pharisees, scribes, and traffickers in the temple. He crossed the border of the cross and death to help us all pass over to the other side. Risen Lord, who therefore awaits us there at every border that we have to cross with the gospel. Amen.
Let us stand as we sing the first and fifth verses of our closing hymn, 362. Lift high the cross. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his holy name. Come, Christians, follow. Our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the so shall our song of triumph ever be. Praise the crucified Lord of victory. Lift high the cross of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
you'd all pull out your inserts for benediction. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with the young. Amen.